Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome everyone on this fine June 11, 2021. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your schedule to join us here on Blog Talk Radio for our program, The Bible on Trial. My name is Dennis Neufeld. I'm sitting across from Rick Sterling, and on the phone we have Dr. Don Hoffman. And we will be starting our program here in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to remind you that we have websites that you need to go to. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, published by Tate Publishing in 2007. They are no longer in business, and so we have the copyright for our own material, and that is on the website. You can read it for free. All you do is go to our website, click on the search icon, and type in the spirit of the church, and it will take you right there. We also have a secondary website, which was our original website back when Apple had a .mac suffix. And the website is spiritoftruthministry.net/SCM. There you will find lots and lots of good writing by not only Rick Sterling, but some of the rest of us. And we encourage you to use these two websites as a resource facility so that you can kind of continue your study into truth all on your own. I was listening to, Peterson, he's a psychologist. I'm going to find it while we're doing this. It is a 12-minute recitation of The Importance of Truth. It was fantastic. I listened to that last night, and oh my, he has it nearly right. Not quite, but nearly right. And I think that would be worth listening to as well. So I'm actually going to go ahead and post that on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and you can go there. Please go there and request to be added to the group, and we'll be glad to add you if you're a new listener. So let us have prayer, and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we honor your names, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the three of you are one, and that you have said through the words of Jesus in John 17 that we too can be one with you through the Holy Spirit and through the words of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for providing not only the law, the Ten Commandments, not only the prophets, not only the two eyewitness accounts that we have in the New Testament, but also, Father, the information being delivered to us, filtered through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can understand what we're reading and what we're thinking. Thank you for all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Rick. And
hello, Dennis.
Good morning, Dr. Don. It's nice to have you on board today. How are you? How are are you down in the canyon, or are you in Redlands?
I'm in the Redlands Canyon, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a beautiful blue sky. It's a gorgeous upcoming day.
This is a Chamber of Commerce day, isn't it, in sunny Southern California?
Looking forward to whatever contacts I'll make today.
Wonderful. And I got a day before yesterday. That's right. Go ahead. You finish.
The contacts, you never know where they're going to come from. And that's just fascinating because a lot of people are very hungry. They're very interested. They're listening. When I talk to somebody and the first thing I sense, they're not arguing and fighting. It's somebody worthwhile talking to. And that doesn't
that's
mean
right.
we know.
And Don?
Yeah?
What do we refer those people, what do we liken those people to?
Well,
you were one of them.
Lost sheep.
Well, that's a pretty neat, interesting reminder.
And we're looking for lost sheep.
Right. I got a chance to see Dr. Don work the other day over at George's. He was meeting with this really lovely lady, and I think you said her name was Linda.
Yes.
And he was he had his pen out, he had her book, and he was writing text down, this and that. One of them was Isaiah 19:9 or something like that.
1919.
Yeah.
1919.
Yeah. And she was just sitting and hanging on eating it up. And now you don't need to be a professional educator like Dr. Don, who spent years and years teaching at the university level. All you have to do is understand that what God wants from us is to abide in his word. And by the way, that's what I wrote about today and on our Bible on Trial episode info. That's titled Puppet Masters, and I think it's worth a read. So thank you, Don, for giving me that little education. I was very, very interested to see how you did it.
Well, see, the bottom line for me is simplicity. Because when I do those presentations, I can talk to just about anybody, and I make sure that they understand. The Lord talked about simplicity when he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He did not say, feed my giraffes.
Yes, no, he did not say that.
And he used the word my.
Yes,
we do know there are lambs and sheep that are not his.
That's right.
And they're the ones that are lost.
No. The lost sheep are his.
Oh, I see. Yes, you're right.
The lost sheep are his. Don't forget that.
Dennis, that giraffe quote is directly from HMS Senior.
Oh, okay. That's right. And I remember seeing him walking down the road with his thick bottle top glasses, with his Bible open in front of him, walking down toward his office on Chevy Chase Drive when I was a kid. I mean, we would drive by and we'd be trying to wave at him out the windows and going to school. And he had his Bible up about 8 inches from his face, and he was roaring down the road, striding down the road. It was interesting.
He was awesome.
Well, he was awesome. Well, Don, if you want to say something, go ahead. I'm going to I will put you on mute, and you can let me know if you need to get on board, okay?
Yes.
Dennis, you used a word.
Oh, no.
In prayer, I believe.
Through.
What does through mean?
From one side to the other.
No, that's departing and arriving.
Well,
what is through?
We're going through something. Yeah.
Okay, you're going through.
Right.
Something.
Going.
if you are not in the kingdom of God, and nobody is until they have completed the sanctification process, so you are not in the kingdom, you are wanting to enter the kingdom, where would that word through come in?
Well, one of the texts that comes to mind is you have to go through the gate. There is an opening that you have to go through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it is interesting, just as it's not a side note, but it's just an ancillary note. Most of the people I talk to in my work environment that we get into discussions of a spiritual nature, I have asked any number of them, are you in the kingdom? Every single one of them answers yes. And I find it fascinating. I don't go into the idea of how we view this just yet. All I'm doing is kind of taking an impromptu survey. And everyone who calls themselves a Christian, every single one of them who names themselves with that identity, tells me that they are in the kingdom.
Dennis, have you ever gone on a vacation to a place you've never been before?
A whole bunch of times. You bet. Very enjoyable.
Do you just hop in the car and you have a general idea of where this place is and you just start driving and hope that you
hope for the best,
can find it?
No.
What do you do?
Get out a map.
Ah, and why?
Or I put it in Waze. Actually, I prefer getting out a map and seeing where I'm going so I can be oriented to north-south when I get there.
Or you can put it into your navigator.
That's right. Waze.
In your car.
Yeah.
But what does that do? When you, say, program your navigation in your car to the destination where you want to be, what happens then?
You follow the directions.
Yeah, and some navigation units will talk to you, especially
right.
on your phone. You know, they will talk to you and tell you, turn left in 1,000 feet.
Right, and mine happens to be a British
yeah.
female voice.
So
my wife, by the way, has the male British voice.
If we take where we are, usually when we start a trip, we start from home. So we take where we live and we start the journey toward where our destination is, and we will get there by following directions. So by going through the navigation, we get to the destination.
Yep. And by the way, one of the things that I find fascinating that does have a spiritual context in this is that sometimes you're a pilot, okay? I was a pilot. What are your instruments for? They are to tell you the condition of the engine. It tells you the radio that you're on. It tells you, it tells you a whole bunch of things. So if you are taking instrument flight training and you have the hood on, what do you see on the outside?
Nothing.
Nothing. And what are you doing? Well, your instructor is there and he says, please fly, 160 degrees for 10 minutes. Okay. You can't see the outside, but you will follow the directions because you trust the instruments. Right. Well,
and you must keep your compass on the 160 degree mark.
Right.
Because if you don't, you won't be headed in the
right direction. And so I remember the first time we were driving, my lovely and gracious wife, Becky, and I were driving to hear my son play at St. John's Cathedral, the first time, this is years ago. And this was a big deal to us because our son is a fabulous pianist, and he had spent 4 years being the organist at the Presbyterian Church in Redlands, and he was now a big-time organist in a big-time church, okay? And we put the address in Waze. And see, I had looked at a map, and I had seen where we need to go, and I saw that we needed to take this freeway to that place and then make this turn, and we had to do all these things to get to where the church was. And we got close, and Waze said, exit at the next exit. And I almost didn't. But then I said, the old pilot in me got, you know, I got to trust the instruments. So I exited the next exit. And it took us on city streets, and we would have been there at the end of church. We would have only gotten there at the end of church had we gotten on the freeway, because there was a major accident. Everything was blocked up. We would have been solidly locked in, and there would have been no rest. So I followed the directions, even though I knew the way that the map showed. But Waze sent me a different way, and we got there literally in just walking in time to hear my son start the prelude with the big organ, the big Skinner organ there. That there is a spiritual component to that, because we think we know the way to the kingdom. But do we really know the way to the kingdom?
I have another question.
Yeah.
I don't recall the Son of God asking the scribes and the chief priests they were in the kingdom of God.
It wouldn't have done any good. They would have.
Well, but yeah. I don't recall him ever asking them that.
No.
But let's say we go back in time and ask them if they are in the kingdom of God. And what do you think would be their answer?
Oh, they would have said, without a doubt, we, in fact, not only are we in the kingdom of God, we run it.
Now, were they in the kingdom of God? I mean, they were Jews. They were Jews. They were born of a Jewish mother and a Jewish father, and so were their grandparents. And you can go back as far ad infinitum. And they were all from a long line of Jewish parents. So if you're saying they're not in the kingdom of God, don't you think they would have been, because they were born of the, you know, promised people?
Well, they had the heritage.
And the lineage.
The lineage. They had the lineage, but they did not have... Okay. Jesus even said to them, the reason why you don't hear my words is because your father is not my father. I'm putting it gently.
Yeah. Well.
The words that you believe are not from the person whose words I brought from heaven.
And I believe he said somewhere that you refuse to enter the kingdom and you prevent anybody who wants to enter from entering it. So what was the issue? He kept talking, you know, about the marriage feast and the marriage feast and the marriage hall and the feast is ready and so on. And what did he mean by that, the marriage feast? Was there a marriage taking place? He was telling them over and over again that if they did not wake up and realize they were not in the kingdom, things were going to change. Now, these are the men that were charged with the responsibility of getting all the people in the kingdom. So how many people do you believe at that time were in the kingdom? We know that the chief priests and the scribes were not, but how many people were in the kingdom?
How about zero?
And how would we confirm that fact? Be in the kingdom?
Absolutely not.
No.
In fact, here's John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word.
So you remember that late night little dissertation he had with Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus how you enter the kingdom. Did Nicodemus know how you enter the kingdom?
He hadn't got a clue. Had no clue.
And what was the response of the Son of God to Nicodemus when he didn't know how you enter the kingdom? You are a teacher in Israel and you don't know this fundamental teaching?
That's John 3:10.
What would happen if there was a bug in your navigation system, a glitch or, you know,
a line of code that gets corrupted
and you're following its directions to your destination? And when it says you have arrived, you look around you and you are out in the middle of a godforsaken wilderness and there is nobody and nothing around.
And, you know, when you started that, I had this picture of the voice saying, turn right here, and you turn right and end up in a lake.
Well, I think of that, you know, family vacation movie, you know,
yes.
With Chevy Chase and,
yeah,
and they go, he knows where they're going, and then pretty soon the car with everybody in it is airborne.
<That's right. laughs>
And comes to a
screeching halt.
Crashing halt. The Son of God came here to earth, gathered to him 12 disciples, students, which he was going to teach. He told them, I got these words from my Father. He told me to tell these words to you, and you need to remember them. So we have of these disciples, which I find interesting, you know, it's the same ratio as the 12 tribes, right? how many of the tribes stayed together? Well, the north, there were 10. In the south, there were
two. And when they came back in the south, one of those had disappeared.
And the priestly tribe stayed in the south because that's where Jerusalem was. We have 12 disciples, and we have two that we have a written record from. And there was the priest, their teacher.
John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 17:20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. And these, who are these that he's speaking of? His own disciples. He is speaking directly to his own disciples in this prayer. But for those who believe in me through their word. So there must be at least one that is left that would have preserved the very words that Jesus Christ said to them when he was here on this earth in ministry. In actual fact, we have two, and maybe three if you take into consideration that Mark is supposed to have written for Peter.
Now, what was in the movie? Family Vacation. What did the husband, played by Chevy Chase, keep telling his wife when she was questioning him that the map she was looking at was not matching where they were because they were supposed to make a turn or something? And he kept saying, I know where I'm going. I'm thinking of the parable that the Son of God told to his disciples. It was a parable about two types of seed that were sown by two different sowers. Could it be that the directions to get us to the kingdom have somehow had a corruption placed in them, a corrupt element, that when you follow that route, you end up in a very, very
bad place.
Hot
right.
condition.
Right. Well, given the fact that when we first started this ministry, when you first started it, and I joined a couple of years after that, I can remember the first time when you got a glimmer of that issue. And I literally said to myself, that can't be. That cannot be. God would never do that. God would never allow that.
Well, you weren't the only one.
Oh, no, I wasn't. But I'm telling you that as much as I trusted you, I was thinking in my mind, man, has Rick gone off the deep end on this one? But it didn't take long, because if you use your intellect and make the comparisons that you are designed to make, you can look at what happened early in the church. And this is the, and things changed so much that later on you and I wrote a book about it. Okay? There is a way that seems right. And people will hold on to that way that seems right to the bitter end because they are comforted by what those words say.
Dennis, you've had a few teachers in your, and I'm talking about academically.
Yeah.
Scholastically, academically. Have you ever felt particularly close to any teacher that you have had?
Several.
Almost like a parent, or at least a very close friend. And why did you, what made you feel that way about them?
Because they were trustworthy. And when they, and see.
No,
they,
well.
Okay, yeah. But what I, okay. And the reason I trusted their word was because they took care of me. Now, what I mean by that academically, I was not a great student. Not like my brother, not like my twin sister, not like my little sister. They all got straight A's and I was struggling to get B pluses. You know what I mean? Or B's. And the two high school teachers that I had, one was the math teacher and one was the music teacher, the chorale teacher. Well, then in that case, there were three because the band teacher was also in there. I struggled and struggled and struggled. And what they did was they took extra time to help me process things so that I could discover it. They never said to me, you need to believe me and trust me because I say it. In fact, all three of them said, don't trust me. Learn this yourself.
Have you ever had a teacher that did a little more that, you know, maybe there was some time in your life that you were really down or something bad had happened and so on.
Yeah.
And one of your teachers gave you some comfort.
Comfort, yeah. You bet.
And helped you feel better, got you through it.
And I think of one in my, I crammed 4 years of college into five. And my primary teacher after I finished my first 2 years was the choral conductor at the university that I was, where I was. And he was almost too nice for his own good. I learned how not to discipline a choir and how not to function with a choir as far as discipline concerned by watching him. But when I was struggling with changing my major from pre-med to music, and I was desperate to find a reason why, what I could tell my folks, this professor said, Dennis, you are only who you are. You can't change that for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went that weekend in to see my dad, I said, Dad, I can't do medicine. This is between my sophomore and my junior year. I said, I can't do medicine. I'm a musician. I am a musician. And he says, I know that.
I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you that. I couldn't influence you. Well, and I said, what am I going to do about mom? My mom was a good Seventh-day Adventist Jewish mother. My son's a doctor following in his father's footsteps. And he says, don't worry about mom. I'll take care of her.
Well, now I have another
So yes,
observation.
I've had that. And by the way, I have been that.
I have another observation. Your son. What is his worldview? And let's say, what is his national view and worldview right now? No, I don't want to know what he was. I want to know what he is right now. We'll get to what he was.
He is very liberal. Very Democrat.
Very left.
Very left.
Very left. Did he start out that way?
No.
Are you left?
I would say not.
left behind is another. But how did he get to be like that? Because he was not that way.
No, he wasn't that way when he came to to the classes that you were teaching
right.
John, you know, he went
to, listen to,
he went to very, very good schools after he took his GED. He did not graduate from high school because we homeschooled him. He went to a community college and he got all of his general eds done there. And he also got an AA in music and he tested out of theory one and in university when he went and matriculated to a full 4-year university, he tested out of theory one, which is the first 2 years of theory in school. He tested out of it because his teacher taught him, but his teacher, his primary, was very liberal. The teachers that taught him all of his other classes were very liberal, and then he went to a very liberal
state
college,
university.
No, he went to a private university for his Bachelor of Arts. He took the language component, and then he went to a very prestigious state university in California and just graduated with his PhD. And every one of his professors is as liberal as they come. He gained his worldview from studying with people whom he respected.
So you could say, based upon the solid evidence, that we become what our teachers tell us is the way things should be.
Correct. So when we talk to people about what we do here at Spirit of Truth Ministry, and just like Don put it, if they're not fighting you, they're worth it. Okay? I think everybody's worth it, but it takes a lot more work to try to convince someone that they've been fooled, because nobody wants to think that they have been fooled.
Well, I don't even, you know, most people that I talk to, I have not had one person initially tell me
that
they've been fooled.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
In fact, they are very certain that they have the truth. Now, you and I were both raised as Seventh-day Adventists. My dad was Seventh-day Adventist pastor.
My dad was a Seventh-day Adventist doctor.
I had a Sabbath school class in a Seventh-day Adventist church for 17 years. And when we first started, we were sort of marginally giving the quote-unquote prophetess of the church slack.
I was going to say a little leeway.
Yeah, and I was too, and slack or leeway. After scrutinizing her life and teachings, we discovered that she was nothing but an evil witch, false prophet.
And we even saw her in prophecy.
Yes. And not a very complimentary way. But she was likened to one of the most, if not the most evil queen that the Northern Kingdom ever had. And also was very confrontational to the prophet Elijah. So we talked to people who were not born in the Seventh-day Adventist home, but who made their decision for baptism into the Seventh-day Adventist Church based solely upon the Great Controversy or the Desire of Ages written by this...
Or Steps to Christ.
Which?
Right. Correct.
And they said that there is no way that she could have been a liar, a witch, wrong, because what she wrote made them become, on by their own choice, a baptized member in the Seventh-day Adventist org.
Denomination. Yeah.
Org.
Okay.
And the same thing can be said about Paul. There are people who became Christian, who came out of paganism, who came out of atheism, agnosticism, any kind of ism out there, who came to know and believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior through the writings of Paul. So how could Paul possibly be a false apostle if his writings bring people into the church, the Christian church? And the writings of Ellen White bring people into the true, quote-unquote, church, the Seventh-day Adventist church. You see, the same thing was alive and well at the time when the Son of God was testifying in Palestine to the Jews and the people living there. In fact, he told the chief priests and the Pharisees that they were doing missionary work. And first of all, when they did get somebody who decided to join the synagogue, the Jewish church, that they would make him twice the son of hell that they were and are. And that they had blocked the way into the kingdom, refusing to enter it themselves and allowing anybody who wanted to enter. Yet the people at that time, and this is, it wasn't just true in that time, it's been true throughout all time, that there's been churches and synagogues and temples and mosques and whatever have you. The leaders of these various religious institutions kept control over the people, the membership, by force in, first of all, getting them to believe that the only way that God would recognize them, that God would be their God, would benefit them, help them, save them, etc., is if they were a member of that religious institution. So if the congregations, etc., did not do exactly what the religious leaders were telling them they had to do, they would be thrown out. And if they were thrown out, they had lost all hope of an afterlife or eternal life or anything beyond the death that they would, of course, have as a mortal living being. So this is how they control the minds and the thoughts of the people. And even when the Son of God is doing all these miracles, which the people themselves said no one else would be able to do if other than the Son of God.
And Nicodemus even said to Jesus, "We know you are from God."
They feared their religious leaders, the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They feared them, and they did not want to publicly accept what the Son of God was teaching, because if they did, they'd be thrown out of the synagogue, and then they would have no hope of eternal life, no hope of the kingdom, no hope of any of this. And so they were really in a tough situation. Think about it. Say the Son of God was here on earth today, and he was saying what I've been saying, mm-hmm. because I've been saying what he was saying.
Right.
How many people would flock to him and say, "Oh, you must be the promised Messiah who was promised to return and come back to save us." But if he said the truth, what you are believing right now is a lie. Paul was a false apostle. Ellen White was a witch. The various other religious institutions were all false, even though Buddha said some very wonderful, helpful things that have helped people through all kinds of circumstances. And Hindu gurus and teachers and Greek philosophers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People who feel a close connection through, there's that word, the teaching of their cherished religious or spiritual or philosophical teacher is a very strong bond. A bond that would seem unbreakable no matter what. The only way through to the kingdom is through the teaching, the testimony of the Son of God as recorded by his two disciples, Matthew and John. Any other writing, in the New Testament is from a questionable source or from a very clear false apostle. The false apostle is Paul. And because Luke was quote-unquote one to Christ through Paul, he is an adherent of Paul's teaching, and his quote-unquote gospel is a fabrication based upon other gospels and then twisted. Mark, on the other hand, may be reliable. He was not one of the 12, but he did associate very closely with the 11 after the Son of God had returned to his father and is very likely accurate.
Well,
and
maybe except for the last
part, which was added by copyists, because Mark, the oldest and most reliable ending of Mark was from the women's discovery of the empty tomb. That's where the oldest and most reliable manuscripts of Mark end. That whole part about handling serpents and you will notice that in that whole kind of concluding part, contains the endings from the other three, from Matthew, Luke, and John, kind of amalgamated together, because I guess the copyists felt that there should be a little better conclusion to Mark than the empty tomb.
It's kind of like what editors do to books, what the first editor of our book tried to do to our book when he was editing it. He knows better about how things should end, and so he's going to change it. Well, that's not allowing God to say what God needs to say.
So anyway, we're rapidly closing in, and this is not what I was. Tomorrow I want to talk about time, but I'm going to give you one movie and one series that actually just started. It just started, and so this would be episode one on Disney Plus. And, I understand about Disney and I understand about all those others. Satan is in all of it. But that said, there is some serious revelation taking place in these that would help in understanding what I've been talking about time, time travel, timing, and time realities. And about what happens when we die. What happens with our mind? So these two, this movie and this, the movie would explain what I believe happens to our mind, or at least is an example of what, I don't believe that it actually happens the way the movie says it, but the idea presented is what I believe what happens to our mind, because I've talked about our mind, our intellect is maintained in a magnetic field, just like information in a computer. Our brain is a magnetic field, and it keeps that information. Our brain is connected to the magnetic field of the Earth. The Earth is connected to the magnetic field of the solar system, and the solar system to the universe.
And the becoming one with the Father is connecting magnetic fields.
Well, the mind.
It's the mind.
But I don't have time to go into that.
Right, exactly.
I've talked about that before.
Correct.
So the movie kind of is in that vein, and it's called Archive. You can find it on Prime Video. The other one is on Disney Plus, and it's called Loki. Now, you'll know that Loki is the legendary brother, evil brother of Thor. And Odin, their father. But this, of course, doesn't talk about Odin or Thor, and his mother makes a cameo. But it talks about reality streams. And what's interesting is there are these reality cops, I guess if you want to call them, that if someone gets off on a timeline that is not active, not a real one, they come in and take that person off of that timeline to an area kind of neutrality, and they get incarcerated or put back on a reality timeline. Of course, he has the Tesseract cube, which allows him to make these time jumps. But what is presented in that episode is kind of a crude representation of what I've been trying to explain about the various timelines and what I believe is happening. We now are in a reality that cannot be changed. And I find it interesting that NASA scientists say that they have discovered a alternate universe that is going backward in time. Interesting. We know that God knows time. He created the timekeeping pieces for us. We are locked in on an unchangeable timeline that it cannot be
modified
or changed by some event, that catastrophic event or whatever. It will not change it because it has now become a single reality, no variables. And that is what I was talking about when the Project Looking Glass computers all came up with the same end reality, the same endpoint, the same end reality. It was a singular reality stream where all the variations would come in and meet. And I think that that has to do with one person that has caused that. God now is not allowing any disruptions to the timeline, which leads into the new future that we will soon experience.
And that timeline, by the way, is not the timeline that we see described graphically in Revelation.
And Loki is L-O-K-I.
Correct. All right. Thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Our show tomorrow is entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We also encourage you to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. I have put the Jordan Peterson video on our Facebook group page. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Newford saying so long for now. We'll see you all tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.